like to call the regular meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees for February 15, 2018 to order. The time is now 6:30 p.m. This meeting of the Genoa Township Trustees is being audio recorded and a written summary will be published after approval. The audio recording and any reference resolutions and documents are the official records and the written summary is the secondary summation of this meeting. If a discrepancy exists between the audio recording and written summary, the audio recording will have precedence. If all or any portion of the audio recording is inaudible or unavailable, the written summary of that portion or portions will be used in lieu of the audio recording. Copies of the audio recording and written summary of the meeting are available on Genoa Township's website, genoatwp.com, or by contacting the fiscal office. At this time, Mr. Myers, would you call the roll?
Sure will. Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. And Mr. Myers, our fiscal officer, is also present. Also present is Mr. Wise, our township administrator, Ms. Strader, our communications director, and Director Schaefer from Zoning and Development. At this time, we will do the Pledge of Allegiance, and I would ask Brent Watson to please lead us in the pledge. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to take a moment to reflect on the events of this past week. A tragedy occurred last Saturday when Westerville police officers Anthony Morelli and Eric Jering lost their lives when checking on a 911 hang-up call. Since then, we have seen a tremendous outpouring of support for our neighboring community to the south, both locally and nationally. Our hearts go out to their families and their fellow officers. We thank all our safety services, especially our own Genoa Township men and women who have stepped up to fill in while Westerville officers grieve. In memory and honor of Officers Morelli and Jering, I now ask for a moment of silence. Thank you. We will begin this evening's meeting with public comment. We do have a guest this evening. Glenn Marsloff from Delco Water Company is here. Mr. Marsloff?
Thank you. For the record, again, my name is Glenn Marsloff. I'm the general manager and CEO at Delco Water. Thank you so much for having me here tonight. Chair Goodman, Vice Chair D'Antonio, Trustee Gebhardt, Fiscal Officer Myers. Really appreciate that and appreciate you getting me on the agenda. The reason we're doing these, and this is the first of the townships that I've talked to, but we try to connect our local elected officials with their utility. It's pretty common, you know, for cities and county governments to own and operate their own utilities, but in the case of Delaware County, that's typically not the case. So we're just trying to connect you with what's going on with your utility, and we do have some significant updates, and it's been quite a while since I've been in to give you an update on the utility. So the general background, we are a cooperative, member-owned, not-for-profit, governed by a 10-member elected board, incorporated in 69, and we started service in 74. We're going to be the ninth largest water system in the state by population. I think it's the second largest in service area, and we currently serve in seven counties, the great majority of which are here in Delaware. I'd like to point out the relationship between Delco Water and City of Columbus. It's a big local urban utility that folks are pretty familiar with, and I think the big takeaway here is that we cover double the service area, but we have about one-ninth the customer base. So much, much different economies of scale and challenges associated with a more rural utility system. This is a map of our service area. Numbers 1, 2, and 3 are our water treatment plants in southern Delaware County. Number 1 is also our headquarters on Olentangy River Road. Number 5 is a groundwater treatment plant in Knox County, and we have a business office at number 4 in Marengo. And item number 6 on there is the Doubt Reservoir, which is a joint project with City of Columbus. So one more slide on the comparison between a rural utility and an urban utility. You can see the difference here between a typical suburb, that's Delaware there, versus parts of our system on the bottom. We lack the density, a lot more infrastructure required per customer. Oftentimes that requires higher rates, although fortunately we do have enough customers that our economy scale makes our water rates quite affordable. And we don't offer fire protection as a base level of service. Now, that being said, we have flushing hydrants, and to those hydrants, lots of fire departments hook to them, and they fight fires, and parts of our system have fire flow as good as anything you would find in an urban city. But you can see in that picture on the lower side there, you know, we probably would only have a 2 or 3 or maybe a 4-inch water line down that street, and that's really not going to provide the types of flow that would be typically required for firefighting. The other big issue specific to Delco that maybe a lot of rural utilities don't see is we have a very high seasonal demand on our system. And because of that, we had a real issue with drought tolerance. But one of the big takeaways I want to provide today is that I think we've got that part of it solved, at least for the immediate future. And I'll give you some more details on that here in just a little bit. So capital report, the Doubt Reservoir was actually put in service in 2016. And it is an upground reservoir located in the northwestern part of Delaware County. It covers 850 acres and is nearly 10 billion gallons of gross water storage, one of the largest of its type in the world. And Delco has purchased 15% ownership in that project. So here's a big area map. You see the site is in the upper left there. That's Thompson Township. And then the next project we're going to highlight is where the blue line is, and that's down in Concord and Liberty Township by our Olentangy Water Treatment Plant. So here's Home Road, you see in the bottom there, and the blue pipeline is our new pipeline, and we just finished our new pump station on the O'Shaughnessy. It's substantially complete. The contractors are still working on the punch list, but we can pump water today from the SIOTA system over to our Olentangy plant. And this is all done in partnership with the Doubt Project and the City of Columbus Department of Public Utilities. It's kind of an interesting project, so I'll highlight it to you here real quick and explain how we did it. So here's a picture of the site. On your left, kind of parallel with the picture, is Home Road, and then on the top of the picture, running left to right, is Riverside Drive and the roundabout there. And our project site, there you see our future basement, and it started as being the tunnel and the drill pit for the project. So they dug that out of pure rock. And we put this, I think it's about a 50-inch tunneling machine in the bottom of that hole, and it did exactly like it sounds, right? So we actually are tunneling underneath the O'Shaughnessy Reservoir out towards the middle to a point where we can get deep enough where we can take water out of in almost any situation, including in a significant drought, we're still able to pull water from that system. If you disconnected it right on the side there, it would be very shallow, and it wouldn't take much of a drought, and we would be out of commission on that particular project. So what we do is we connect it to steel pipe, and we tunnel in a little bit, and then they'll back up this, it's almost like a locomotive tunneling machine. They'll back it up, and they'll weld on another piece of this large 48-inch steel pipe, and then they'll push that through and back it up and continue to do that up until the point that we're out in towards the middle of the reservoir. And at that point, they send a team of subaqueous divers out there, and they take that big tunnel machine you saw, and they connect some buoys, some floatables to it, and they'll float that out after they excavate and define that, and they replace it with the elbow that you see here, and that's quite large. I don't know if you can see the scale on it, but 48-inch steel elbow. They weld that in place subaqueously, and then on top of that, they place our new intake. And that's the project, about $7 million construction costs on that. Here we are at grade. And now it's up out of the ground, and we're doing the final paving. And we're calling this our Schreiber pumping station, and it provides up to 16 million gallons per day of raw water from the SIOTA system to our Olentangy water treatment plant. We actually have rights to about 4.5 million gallons per day of water from the Doubt, but Columbus is letting us take that not on a daily maximum, but as an annual average. So the reality is most days we won't pump any. But if we were in any kind of drought situation, we could use all $16 million at any given time up until we deplete that supply. This is Larry Schreiber, who the new pump station is named after. He was on our board for 34 years, and actually even before he started board service, he was going door-to-door selling taps. And he retired back in 2011, and we will probably have some kind of ribbon cutting or dedication ceremony, and he'll no doubt be at that. So we're able to get the additional water supply over to our Olentangy treatment plant, and this plant, which was put in service in 2006, is now ready for expansion. And you can see real quickly just by the diagram on here that it was originally constructed and designed with the expectation that it be expanded. So we're going to simply fill in those gaps and expand this water treatment plant. It's already been awarded to Building Crafts, and we're going to take the capacity from 19 to about 29 million gallons per day at a cost of $15 million for construction. Total project costs are $17 to $18 million. And those two things are going to fix those big drought issues we had in 2012. Elevated tanks have certainly been a topic here in Genoa Township. We do like to talk about how we reinvest in our assets. This year we're repainting Rome Corners and another tank up in Morrill County at a cost of about $900,000. But if we continue to provide this type of reinvestment in these assets, they'll last 100 years or longer. And that's our goal, is to make these things last perpetually so they continue to serve our customers. Looking at Genoa Township specifically, I've been here and talked to you a couple times about our transmission line project, and we're very pleased with the way things turned out. Glad for you at least considering our request before for an elevated tank site in the park, but I think this is going to work out much better. It's not in anybody's backyard, and the folks that will be closest to it are going to know about it ahead of time. It's not going to be a big surprise, so we're very pleased if this project actually comes to fruition, and it's in a location that's going to be very viable for our project. So we're pleased with that. So eventually we'll get that entire transmission line put in. But the short-term project we're going to be putting in is directly from our Ralph Scott plant that's at the base of Alum Creek, connecting over to a stretch of a large 36-inch transmission pipe that we put in conjunction with Delaware County's project of Africa Road when they redid that intersection there just a couple years ago. So this will get us a second significant connection and a redundant connection to get water over the Alum Creek there, somewhere we're really challenged, so we're very pleased with that. And then as soon as we can reasonably do it, we'll continue to work on that project and the future tank. Other initiatives and updates I want to make you aware of. Delco's been very blessed. We've never had real challenges with our source water, so we've never before invested in what we call a source water monitoring program. Those of you here in this township are probably pretty familiar with the City of Columbus Department of Utilities. They have a ranger program that works up in the Hoover, and they also work up in the O'Shaughnessy and other spots all the time. And they've had to do that to protect the source water because they've had challenges with their source water. Fortunately, we haven't. But we've learned enough, and we've started investing and actually hired our first full-time employee that's dedicated to nothing but source water monitoring. And this whole program is less than 3 years old. We're really making significant strides to make sure we understand and we protect our raw water resources. We also recently hired our first full-time safety specialist. We had employees that had part of their duties dedicated to safety before, but we've grown large enough that we actually have a full-time dedicated employee to that task. In the age of the baby boomers, this is becoming pretty common. We have two key employees retiring this year, our longest and our second longest serving employee, Sandy Terry and Steve Frensos, are retiring. We're working hard to backfill and succession plan for them. In fact, one of our key employees, Chris Dye, our customer service manager, is here today. She's part of our senior management team, and she wanted to see all the excitement of coming to a township trustee meeting, so she's going to get to see that. In 2017, we did our first ever customer satisfaction survey. We always knew that our customers thought we were very good, or so we thought anyhow, and we thought it was better to actually go out and ask them that. We did get pretty good results. I mean, the big takeaway, we did learn quite a bit, but the big takeaway that we hope to learn and we're pleased with is that well over 80% of our customers either agree or strongly agree that they are satisfied with Delco Water as their water provider. I think that's something that we'll revisit often in the future. So the last time I was here giving you just a general update on Delco was to talk to you about this new conservation tier. So I want to give you kind of an update on where that's gone and how that's working for us. So if you remember back then, we kind of explained to you why we were doing this. So this is a slide from our master plan, and the bottom line there in blue is our average day production, historic trends, and then the projected trends, assuming that we grow the way our master plan says and with the same types of customers. And then the second line, the one slightly higher there is in red, is our max day per year. And of course, as a water utility, we have to design for that maximum situation. You know, it's not quite the same as designing roadways. Like OSU and City Columbus, they don't build their roadways for the minute an OSU game exits. It's okay if there's a little bit of congestion at the end of a game, or red, white, and boom, for instance. But for that peak day a year, we simply can't allow our water systems to run out of pressure. You know, we have to keep that system engaged at all times, so we have to design for that maximum day. So that's what we're kind of designing for, is that upper line in red. And the goal is, if we can either change the way our customers use water or else change the way our new customers use water, the types of homes we're building, we're hoping that to change that primarily outdoor water use that you see displayed up here, if we can trend those lines down a little bit. That's the goal and objective of that new rate. This one illustrates it maybe even a little bit better. So 2017 was a fairly wet and cool summer, as our summers go. And you see the average day on the right there of about 12 million gallons per day. And we had a peak day of almost 21 million gallons per day. But we back up to 2012, when, of course, we had several thousand less customers at that time, but a much different seasonal demand because of that hot, dry summer. And this is our all-time record day. We were at 31 million with a rated capacity of 33. So it was pretty much all the water we could get out the door in order to serve that day. So that was our challenge. Now, of course, we're expanding this plant. We've already told you that. So that line on top, that rated capacity, will go from 33 to about 42 million gallons per day. And the goal is to make that particular reinvestment last as long as possible. This gentleman who just walked in is our longest-serving board member, Mr. Bill Cole. Hi, Bill. Yeah, he'll pay attention in a minute. So moving on forward with our with the conservation tier, it was designed based on 2015. You see, we didn't have any conservation in tier for 12, 13, 14, 15. And what's happened in 16, 17? Well, we earned a little bit more revenue in the first year, a little less this past year than the baseline year, 1.8 and 1.5% respectively. What does that mean? There's actually so many variables to this thing, it's hard to know. And this is a really long-term goal. We're trying to change customer behavior over a series of years. So maybe some of the folks that have their a vendor come in and turn on their sprinkler system for them, this year they say, well, instead of having it run 4 days, just turn it on for 2 days or 1 day. And if over time we get enough of our customers to do that, it will make a significant impact both on our amount of usage in that conservation tier and also on that summer peak demand. And this here is our percentage of customers that used water in there. So slightly up based on that 2015 year. Last, I want to close with Genoa Township. We're also members of the business association here. And 8,000 of our customers are from here in Genoa, one of our largest townships, one of our largest customer areas. And we think we share a lot of the same vision as the trustees here. First and foremost, it's the public health and safety of our members and your residents, provide affordable but value-added services, reliable infrastructure, and a quality product, economic development for the future, and successful enterprise for those that are here already. We certainly don't want to price them out of business. And anywhere we can, provide some synergy and cooperation with township and other government and other organizations in the area. So that's what I have for you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have for me about your water system.
Well, thank you very much. It's been quite informative. Learned a lot. Are there questions?
Glenn, of the capital improvements, how much of those are self-funded versus financing versus increased rates to come?
So it's a combination of all those things, but the great majority are self-funded. So the items that are related to growth, we do our best to fund those entirely out of capacity fees. If we have enough already available, then we use those. So the only time we've taken out debt, since the last major debt we took on was 2006 to build that Olentangy water plant. And this expansion we're taking on, We're putting on, we're taking debt out for that. USDA is providing us a fantastic 2.3% rate for a 40-year term. So our customers, we're not going to see a major change in rates in order to cause that. And we'll be able to pay a lot of that with capacity fees and depreciation going forward. So how much is debt? It's almost all cash. And then that's the big takeaway. And what comes out of rates, you know, so we do fully fund depreciation. So that's one thing that we do. So this next year, for instance, we're going to realize access to that Doubt reservoir water, and we just put that Shriver pump station and those projects online. So those together add significant valuation, and we depreciate those. It's going to add about $600,000 to $700,000 to our operating budget, funds that we're going to set aside to reinvest in those projects and other projects going forward. But we pay most of it with cash because most of it's related to growth, and we have those fees associated with that. Tap fees, the majority of that money.
So the users should not see a material increase in water rates?
I would think that it would be very modest increase this year, mostly to deal with that depreciation increase. We have not decided whether there's going to be any rate increase this year or not. But
what would modest translate to?
2-3%
annually.
That tends to be our average annual average. We've raised rates almost every year. I would anticipate we'll continue to do that.
Thanks.
And the hope is the increase would help drive behavior, right? I'm paying more, so I'll use less. It's okay. I just want to see what Glenn said. If you charge me a little more, maybe I'll only run it two times a week instead of three times a week.
Well, certainly that's what the conservation tier is out there for, is to discourage excessive outdoor water use. And we certainly don't mind if people want to sprinkle, but the issue is we have customers that in the wintertime, when they're inside use, they're using, you know, maybe it's a single couple and they're using 2,000-3,000 gallons of water a month. That same customer might be using 200,000 gallons in the summer. And that's a huge challenge for utility to provide that kind of capacity for that customer when they're only going to use it 3 months a year. Huge challenge for us. So that's the goal that conservation tier was put out there, to send them a price signal that you got two choices: use less and save some money, or you're going to pay more and we're going to take those funds and we're going to channel it into these major expansion projects that we're doing, not because of our indoor water use, our domestic demand, but because of the demand that's associated with outdoor water use.
Question.
You will need to come to the microphone. Name, address, and question.
Charlie Grubb, 4673 Normandy Drive. My question is, we're talking a lot about conservation. You know, AEP, Columbia Gas, these guys give a lot of high efficiency rebates for, you know, I just got a Nest thermostat for $19 through AEP, right? Those are the kinds of things that, you know, as a customer really drive me to turn down my thermostat. You know, I don't see those kind of things coming with my bill for Delco, you know, water savers or, you know, different kinds of things that would increase people's low flow shower heads, low flow toilet things, you know, different add-ons that would really increase conservation. Is there a potential there that we could invest, or Delco could invest in those kind of things, and therefore see that turnaround, you know, with a lower usage?
Thank you. That's a great question. So, two ways to answer. We've kind of divided the use into two different things. Domestic water use is the indoor water use, and the great, great, great majority of all the homes on our system were built after the major plumbing code changes. So the low-flow shower heads are in place, the low-flow toilets are in place, and domestic is not the big challenge for us. The challenge is outdoors. So what are we investing in there? Delco has self-funded a project to look at a smart sprinkler system in some of the neighborhoods that we see the highest demand, and we're continuing to work on this. We're working with a new partner this year trying to figure out if there's a way to leverage that same type of technology that you see in your Nest thermostat with a smart sprinkler controller that looks at the weather and helps these customers maintain A-plus quality lawn and landscape, but saving water and saving money at the same time. We want them to save that money. We don't keep that money in your bank account and make it so that we don't have to expand a Ralph Scott plant and our Thomas Stewart plant here in the next 10 or 15 years because we continue to grow with that seasonal demand. That's the goal and objective. So we are investing in that, and if we see that those things have real potential to pay off, then we'll continue to invest in those. We're hoping to offer all of our customers that have an in-ground sprinkler system, we may have an opportunity to offer them some kind of a good rate on a smart device. And I can't share that all with you, but we're working with the vendor to try to do that at this time. So we're trying to do the right thing on those things, and it's just that is one of the major goals in a strategic plan of Delco Water, is both identify source water for the future to make sure we continue to have plenty of this water supply, and then number two is deal with that seasonal demand, and those are the things that we're working on. One of the major strategic goal areas is growth.
Glenn, is there any difference in processing the source water from your different sources?
Yes. Yeah.
Which one is the cheapest? Which one's the most expensive?
Well, the cheapest tends to be groundwater. So our groundwater plant in Knox County is our cheapest source. Our next cheapest source, and we do pay for the source water itself, but the Allen Creek plant is a little bit cheaper to operate than the Olentangy plant. It's not significant, but it is cheaper to operate, and we maximize production out of that plant. Right now, we're actually doing some work on it, so we have a bit out of commission, but we tend to use every gallon of that water we can produce out of that plant every year, and then the Olentangy plant, which is our most expensive to operate, makes up the difference. If it's a high seasonal demand, it will ramp all the way up to that 19 million gallons per day, or if it's a low production day, then it may be as little as 2.5, 3 million.
But your whole system from Knox, everybody's interconnected, are they not?
It is interconnected. I don't want to make it sound like it's really easy to move the Knox County water to the far southwestern part of our system because it's not, but we are all interconnected, and there are some abilities. It's a redundant system, so if we do have some kind of disaster, we can serve other areas from different plants, but we try to be very appropriately efficient with that exact question you ask. What can we produce out of the groundwater plant, and definitely utilize everything we can out of the Scott plant to help serve Southern Delaware County because it is less expensive to operate.
All right. Thank you.
One more question, and then we'll be moving on, unless the board has others.
Jim Carter, 4493 South Old Precinct Highway. Do you get any water from Hoover or Genoa Township? And if not, where does our water come from? And will those new reservoirs affect the amount of water in Hoover?
Okay. Good question. So we do not get any water from Hoover. That's entirely owned and operated by City of Columbus. Our sources, the majority of the water here comes from Allen Creek, from our Ralph Scott plant, which is located right there at the base of Allen Creek. When you drive by on Lewis Center Road, you can see it there. And some of the water in the township may come from the Stewart plant, which is our groundwater plant, all the way down from Knox County. But, of course, it's mostly downhill, so it's pretty efficient for us to get water down from there. So, certainly, as you go further north into Sunbury, there's a higher percentage of the groundwater source up there, but the great majority is from the Scott plant at this location. Okay. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you all tonight and bring you up to speed on what we're doing at Delco Water. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We appreciate your being here. All right. Next up, we have additional public comment. Anyone wishing to speak this evening? Please provide your name, address, before you state your topic.
Hi, it's Charlie Grubb, 4673 Normandy Drive. Carl, I see you got the memo on growing out a little bit of...
Yeah. It's easy to do.
Easy to do, isn't it? It started off just being lazy, and then I went with it. Last weekend was a terrible news weekend, and we're all well aware of that, and I just wanted to say thank you to our police department for picking up the slack and helping out in that time. I can't imagine the things they're dealing with, and so being so close, and what a great tragedy, and it's really nice to be a part of a community that chips in I can't be more grateful. So I kind of wish the chief of police was here tonight. I was looking forward to saying that directly to him. But anyway, there it is on record. The sound wall. At the beginning of 2016, I started the process of you know, asking for something to be put with a dirt reserve, and I miss a meeting because my son was born, and daggone if you guys don't pass a whole thing and get it done without me, even in the presence. So I don't know whose idea was the sledding wall entirely, but I love the idea. I think it's a great way of taking the rubble that was there, putting it into a unique idea for the township, a unique idea for that parkland. It cleaned it up. My family and I have been out there several times already. We've taken advantage of it. It's a blast. And to say all that, I also want to say that, man, if you stand on top of that hill and hear the noise and stand at the bottom of the hill and hear the noise, it is a remarkable difference. And I think for that section entirely, you know, there's a big noticeable difference. You know, with 71 and, you know, depending on which way the wind blows, it's always a challenging situation living next to the freeway. But I think that really, and I talked to some of the neighbors around there, and again, with the way the wind works and blah, 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 you know, I think that they're like, well, we don't notice an increase, and we definitely use the sledding hill. So I think that it was overall a great way to improve that area. The road seems to be nice. The barrels, you know, the grass things seem to be really good. So I just wanted to say thank you to the board to, working with me for the long time and finally getting something done. And taking care of was a big thing for our neighborhood, and I appreciate it. And I think it's a good thing for the township in general. So, and then lastly, one last thing was the housing market is booming. We're doing a lot of building in the township, and again, I just want to stand here and urge you guys to not deviate from the comp plan and this 0.75. Open spaces are nice to look at, and they do serve a purpose. I fully admit that. The issue is after the builders have left, the residents of the neighborhoods are hit with a huge maintenance fee. In Sheffield Park, I mean, we have almost 60 acres of land. The majority of that is mowed. Our annual budget for just mowing a year is almost 80 grand. And that is a huge hit after these, you know, in the beginning, everybody comes and the HOA fees are a dollar, right? Because it's all builder funded. But as soon as that builder leaves, you know, that burden is passed to the community. And then we have to raise HOA fees because everybody else raises their costs, you know, a little bit every year. Just, you know, adds up. And I think that larger lots and smaller green spaces can equally be effective in creating a natural buffer between, you know, two communities or roads and communities. For example, if you take my backyard, you know, I have a small backyard, but then I have 400 feet before Worthington Road. You know, if my backyard went out some, we could still have that natural buffer. You know, my taxes might be up, you know, but the overall cost would be down with that for the neighborhood, you know, those which would increase my taxes I pay. You know, it has a lot of things that are better than just a small lot and big open spaces is really what I'm getting at. And so there are more effective ways of creating the natural boundaries without the burdensome HOA maintenance costs down the road to residents. So those are the things I wanted to say. And again, I appreciate the township police department working with the other police department in their time of need.
Great. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Yep.
Any other public comments this evening? Seeing none, we will move on to the fiscal officer report. Mr. Myers.
Yes, I just have one thing. I have a month-end January 31st, 2018 financials. Have them for your approval. Total funds of $15,358,615.03. And our way that breaks out, the pooled investments of $11,367,719.89. And the primary balance of $3,990,895.14. And I'll have these for your review and signature, and they're on the website for residents. If they'd like to see them, they'll be on the website. If they have any questions, they can reach out to the office.
Thank you.
I have.
Thank you very much. Trustee comments.
Good.
The Pat, the Ohio checkbook doesn't appear to be uploaded since mid-2016. Maybe I'm not accessing it right on the new website.
Okay.
But maybe, could you take a look at that?
Absolutely.
I think we got a memo, or maybe it was, I don't know where it came from, but we're going to do street cleaning. And I'm not sure which streets at the end of March.
All streets.
Do we do that annually?
Twice annually. We do a spring
sweet street sweeping and a fall street sweep.
I'll ask the question, is it necessary that we do all streets twice a year?
What happens is if we don't do that, then the pipes underground become clogged with leaves and debris. So it's going to cost you twice as much every year to clean out pipes underground with jet rotters and other things. So, yes, it does help the quality of water, keeps things flowing underground better, so there's no backups and residents and there's no property damages, so yes.
As a way to try to minimize, can we selectively look at streets on a street-by-street basis, which ones need it and which ones do not? Because I drive through a lot of neighborhoods, and it's pretty clean. There's no leaves or twigs or debris in the gutters.
I know in the subdevelopment it's pretty bad. If you run through Shellbark Ridge, there's tons of leaves and debris on the curb right now as we speak, run through Sherbrooke. It's pretty messy out there. Like I said, sometimes in the fall, some of the leaves hold their leaves. The trees hold their leaves till, wait, maybe early December, and the sweeper's gone by then. So the leaves just stay there along the curb until the spring.
Well, with the plowing that's going on, those leaves would be picked up and pushed over with the rest of the snow.
It's a reasonable contract. We don't have to maintain a sweeper. We just pay twice a year for that service.
What's the cost?
It's probably, you're catching me here, because it's, I think, $3,500 or so a sweep. I thought it was like $7,000 a year to sweep.
Okay.
A lot of communities have their own street sweepers, but for us, it's better just to contract that out so we don't have to maintain the sweepers.
What's the status of the new Genoa maps?
Pardon?
What is the status of the new Genoa maps?
So I've just been going back and forth with the designer to get it in a shape where I feel comfortable presenting it to you all for final edit. So I'm expecting it back probably next week or in the next couple weeks. So it's coming along.
Okay. We spoke earlier. I've got a schedule conflict for our March 1 trustees meeting. I'll be out of state, so I'd like to go ahead and reschedule that.
Okay. We'll take a look at some dates right now.
Sure.
It is March 1st,
oh,
yes.
Cool. All right. So why don't the two of you throw out some possible dates and we'll see what works.
We could go March 6th.
I'm going to be gone 6th, 7th. We had talked about, and I thought it was maybe the last end of March, Frank, but so we talked about maybe just dropping down a week, going to like the 8th and the 22nd. Which could still be an option.
I could not do the 8th.
Okay.
I have an important meeting.
Okay.
Do we just want to go then with one meeting in the month on the 15th?
We do the 15th.
That works for me if it does for the two of you.
Yeah.
We just have a larger agenda.
So we will cancel our March 1, 2018 trustee meeting.
Correct.
And we will go as planned with our March 15th, 2018 meeting.
Mr. Wise, would you?
Cancel the first.
Correct.
Yep.
The March 1st meeting. March is a busy month. Okay. And anything else?
No.
Trustee Gebhardt.
I had the opportunity of attending two meetings, both one in Westerville for the Westerville School District and the other one for Big Walnut. I serve on the Economic Development Committee up there. The Westerville meeting was a public meeting, a series of meetings that they are holding on facilities. They are looking at the strong possibility of needing a new middle school and possibly an elementary school in the southern part of the district. This would be down south of 270, down the 161 area. They're just getting overloaded, basically. So a very good presentation that was here in the township. They're going to have a series, several more. So anyone that's listening out there in radio land that is in the Westerville School District, I would encourage them to get up to speed on what's going on. They aren't anticipating the need for any increase in levies or anything at this point. They feel that there was some land that was donated down there and everything, but there is some interest in looking at restructuring some of the facilities for the Westerville School District. Big Walnut, going through some similar challenges up there. They did pass their levy. They are in the process. They will be building a new high school and probably an elementary school. And so they are working through that. But as a result of some of the other people that participate in that meeting, there's other townships, Village of Sunbury, Galena, the county was there as well, Bob Lamb. I really think, and it's one of the goals I'm going to propose tonight, there's a lot going on around us. And we talk about that. We know that there's a lot of things going on in the township. There's a lot of development. But when I heard from the mayor of Galena that they have a new sewer plant that's going to be going online February 1st of 2019, 5 million gallon expansion, because they are looking to address potentially up to 650 new houses coming into the Galena area, as well as Berkshire Township is looking at doing some rezoning up there, looking at more mixed-use zones in their zoning, I really think we can't be living in a bubble. And so I would encourage, and I will be encouraging, that one of our goals for this year is that we do create a regional situation, a meeting with the regional governments in this area, Berkshire, Galena, Sunbury, the school districts, and sit down and really start comparing notes and finding out who's doing what and what those ramifications could be. There's some positive things, I think, happening also out of that. Berkshire is in the process of doing a trails and park plan. They're very interested in looking at the opportunity, maybe tying in with some of our trail systems and looking at some of our parks. And the same with Galena, some possible expansions of the Ohio Erie Trail. So there's a lot of things going on around us that I think we need to stay engaged with. And I would encourage that we set up, whether it's on a periodic basis or a regular basis, a meeting with representatives of those respective communities and governments. So that's
my report.
Thank you.
Communications.
I don't have any specific updates tonight, but happy to answer any questions you have.
Questions for Ms. Strader? I think you're off the hook tonight. All right. Zoning, Director Schaefer.
Good evening, trustees. I have a few things on the agenda for you this evening. First two are related. I have a memorandum here for you. I'm going to come around and pass out here real quick. Thank you. This memorandum wasn't in your packet because this has to do with action that the Zoning Commission took this Monday, past Monday night, so obviously too late to make the Friday email. This is the standard memorandum I prepare whenever a development plan has been given a recommendation by the Zoning Commission, but needs to go to the trustees for a hearing. So the one in front of you this evening is Harris Automotive. They're an existing business here in the township, looking to purchase some vacant land on Maxtown Road and build a new site there and move out of the facility they currently rent. So they've had two hearings with the Zoning Commission. The first one was on January 8th. They were continued. They were heard again this past Monday, as I said, on the 12th. They received a favorable recommendation, so a recommendation of approval with some divergences. So what I'm asking the board to do this evening is to acknowledge receipt of the recommendation and schedule a hearing. Now, I wasn't aware that the early March meeting was going to be canceled, so it sounds like scheduling a meeting in March is going to be slightly difficult, but I do have some dates that the hall or conference room is available for hopefully a date. I know the applicant's very eager to have their meeting. They're trying to close on the property pretty much as soon as they can, so the earlier the better for them, but obviously we need to accommodate our schedules, the board's schedule, the hall's availability, and advertising requirements.
Let's start with acknowledgement, and then we'll move on to scheduling.
Certainly.
I move that the board acknowledge receipt of the Zoning Commission ZC 2018-02 application from Harris Auto. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on this?
Harris Automotive is currently located on Maxtown Road, correct?
Correct. So they are located, they're currently renting an existing building west of J Company. They're looking to buy the vacant parcel that's to the east of J Company. So basically okay. Hopping one parcel to the east.
All right.
Mr. Myers.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. All right. So now it's time to look at the calendars before we make the next motion. And you said you have some available dates for the hall.
Yeah, the dates I have here, it sounds like early March is not great, but the one that I had starred as a potential good date that the hall is open and we wouldn't have to be in the conference room was actually Monday the 5th. Now, I know, Mr. Gebhardt, you said you're not available the 6th, 7th, 8th, the rest of that week.
I'm good.
And Trustee D'Antonio, I know you said you were going to be out of town.
I'm out of state.
Okay, you're still out of state at that time. Okay. I guess what would be the earliest date in March each one of you thinks you would be available? Maybe we should just go off of that.
I defer to these
okay.
two. And I have a little more flexibility.
I could do the 12th.
14th for myself.
Okay.
I would prefer the 14th.
I could do the 14th.
So the 14th, we could do it in the conference room. Another option, the next soonest date that I had starred is your, are you still doing your mid-month meeting, the 15th?
Yes,
yes.
We're doing 15th.
Your other option, well, I was going to say your other option would be to have it during the mid-month meeting, but now since it sounds like that's the only meeting of the month, that may not be as preferred of an option. So it sounds like the earliest date that would work for everyone is the 14th in the conference room.
Or we could put it in front of the 15th meeting.
We could do that as well.
Do so go from 5:30 to 6:30.
What would be your preference? I can do either.
I mean, are you anticipating any issues?
We only had a couple residents come to the first hearing. They didn't even come to the second hearing. There was some questions about sort of just you have those neighborhoods behind them. I think it's Northern Lakes, if I'm correct.
Right.
That were just sort of concerned about, you know, the lighting and some of those things. But they didn't show up at the last hearing. The commission seemed relatively comfortable with it. Honestly, really the only reason they got continued the first time was just there was just a lot of cleanup that they had to do with the drawings and text and stuff. There just wasn't stuff that was tightened up, but I wouldn't say there was any significant design concerns.
Maybe just in the event that it runs long, let's do 5 o'clock.
Well, and I'm thinking maybe the 14th would be better if that.
Oh.
Rather than to have to push, we'll have a full meeting on the 15th, and then we won't have to push through anything. We can do whatever is required on either meeting.
I'm comfortable with whatever the board would like to do.
Did they have any or many divergences on this that might be?
There was a couple divergences that'll be, the board will have to consider that the Zoning Commission approved.
Okay, but public comment, virtually nothing.
At the last meeting, they had none. They had the business owner's father was the only public comment at the last meeting.
I'm good either way, Chairman.
I'm thinking the 14th at 6:30 might be better. That way we're not pushing on either date.
It works.
Okay. 6:30 p.m. Conference room, you said?
Yes. I can't remember who's in here that evening. I don't know if it's on Wednesday. It's either an HOA or Parks or someone.
All right. I move to schedule a public hearing for ZC 2018-02. Application for Harris Auto on Wednesday, March 14th, 2018 at 6:30 p.m. in the conference room of the administration building.
Second.
Any discussion on this?
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. So you will do appropriate advertising and so forth.
Correct.
Very good.
Yes, thank you. And the only other item I had on my agenda for you this evening was Sarah Walsh has tendered her resignation from the Board of Zoning Appeals. I believe you all were provided the letter in your mailboxes. So I believe we just need a formal acceptance.
I move to accept the resignation of Board of Appeals zoning member Sarah Walsh, effective February 2nd of 2018. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Gebhardt. As part of the discussion, I would just like to thank Ms. Walsh for her service. She's been on the BZA for quite a while. I've listened. I know she's always an engaged member, and we appreciate her service. So.
Now, Sarah has also resigned from the Citizens Police Advisory Committee. Do you want to include that or do that as a separate?
We would do that as part of fire.
Police.
Or police, I'm sorry. The other safety service. Okay.
But it's not on the agenda. Police is not even on the agenda.
We can see.
You could probably just do it now. I can't think of a reason.
The letter is for both.
Okay. Well, I'll just amend the motion then to include both the Board of Zoning Appeals and the Citizens, or the Police Advisory Committee.
I'll second.
I didn't bring that letter.
Yeah. Citizens Police Advisory Committee.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. Motion passes.
So obviously that'll leave a vacancy on the board, but since I know the trustees are in the process of doing all the 2018 appointments, I am assuming we'll just address that with the with those appointments. So
that is
that's all I have for you this evening.
Thank you. All right. On to maintenance, roads, bridges.
Thank you. This evening, I want to say that in the packet of information there, the script that you have before you has a typo at the next topic. It's actually a building and grounds employee, not maintenance. This evening, I'd like to ask the board to consider leave without pay for buildings and grounds department employee John Baker, effective December 6th, 2017.
Okay, I move to authorize leave without pay for buildings and grounds department employee John Baker, effective December 6th, 2017.
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Gebhardt. Discussion.
What's the purpose for the leave without pay for John?
The employee's out on leave with an injury.
Okay. So he's used up all of his sick time, vacation time?
Yes.
Okay. That's all.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. Motion carries.
Paul, with John out on unpaid leave, what are we doing to backfill that position?
Luckily, the grass isn't growing, so it's not creating too big of an issue now. Both of the employees, the two new employees, have went out and obtained their CDLs. So if there's a snow event, they're able to drive the big trucks to fill in where John was helping out on the big trucks. So. Right now, it's not a big issue, so we expect John to return to work and probably before the grass starts growing. Next up on the agenda is fire department. You have before you the medical director contract that was approved last year, and it expired December 31st. I'd like the I'd like the board to consider this renewal of this contract with no changes in terms, just a change in the expiration date. Before we get into that motion, I would like not to renew this, but to extend this and to make it just on a monthly basis instead of this annual. That way we don't have to address this annually, and either party can terminate the contract at will. So the way that this is written is it's written for an annual. And what I would suggest we do is we extend it on a monthly basis at $300 a month, not $3,600 per year, payable monthly, and that it may be terminated by either party. And then we don't have to address this on an annual basis, which we're already now 1.5 months past due. So this is a way to take care of that issue.
So, by the same token, could we not just renew it on an annual basis with no end date until terminated?
It would just be renewed then. It wouldn't be renewed on an annual basis. That would be contradictory. So you could renew it, but not on an annual basis.
Let me ask a different question on this one before we go to that. Why wasn't this done earlier? Did it just fall through the cracks?
Yes.
So this is something we probably should have looked at the reorg or mm-hmm. end of December?
Yes. And if I remember right, this fell through the cracks the year before also, and we had to retroactively do it. So
it was always part of the reorganization.
It was when he was listed as an employee, but now that he's now a contractor, then it's... Okay. Become a separate entity.
Dealing with this reorganization mm-hmm. will point this very issue. So, okay. I don't care how it's done. I mean, I don't. We're required to have one.
And
so, whether we do it monthly, I don't care. So it's whatever motion is made.
Either way, we're going to have to...
It's going to have to be renewed.
Renew this
or
at
continued.
Some point in time.
Preferably soon, because we we need this position.
All right,
I will move to engage the services of Thomas Gavin, M.D., to provide, to be the Genoa Fire Department's medical director as an independent contractor basis at a rate of $300 per month, retroactive to January 1, 2018.
Second.
Any further discussion? Mr. Myers?
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yep.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Paul, you'll need to amend, or revise, not amend,
okay.
The Emergency Medical Director's Services Director Agreement, because that'll need modification.
Next. If you've looked at the information that Chief Honeycutt has given you, he's had a couple resignations. On his fire department advisory board, Greg Arnett has resigned, and Don Harper has also resigned. So if the board would accept those.
And Arnett is not in this motion, so we just need to add him, right?
That's right. Okay. You need to add him also into that.
I move to accept the resignation of Fire EMS Rescue Advisory Committee members Don Harper and Greg Arnett, effective February 15, 2018.
Second.
Any discussion?
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you. And lastly, the trustee goals. I received Connie's, and shortly before this meeting, I received Trustee Gebhardt's goals, so haven't had a chance to read Carl's yet, but Frank, do you have goals set up for this?
I just have them scribbled on a sheet of paper here. Yes, I do have some.
Okay, if you want to streamline those and send them to me, I can incorporate them into one document for the board to look at for the next.
Oh, okay. Yeah, is that what we were going
to
do?
What we had talked about was turning all of sending them to Paul Wise prior to this meeting so we could go through them.
And he's going to compile them?
He's going to compile them, yes.
And then we would discuss?
Correct. So we'll defer that to tomorrow. Next meeting, and if you could please send them to Paul. And you gave yours.
Yep.
And he's got mine, so. Okay. Deferred.
Off the agenda, there was offices being closed Monday was missed, but it's on the announcements off the script, so just want to point that difference out to you.
Okay.
Is there anything else this evening you need to address with me before we go into executive session?
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
Thank you.
All right, as announcements go, the offices will be closed on President's Day, which is Monday, February 19th, 2018. Board of Zoning Appeals, February 27th at 7 p.m. And the next trustee meeting is March 15th at 6:30 p.m.
Sorry, I just have one more event to mention. Since the next meeting is canceled, I wanted to mention that Cram the Cruiser will be on March 10th at 10 a.m. at the Kroger on Maxtown Road. It's a food drive that the police department is putting on.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that reminder.
Connie, I also have, in addition to the announcements, the Finance and Audit Committee meeting will be meeting March 20th at 6:30 p.m. in the conference room. March 20th, 6:30, conference room. Yes.
Okay. Thank you both. At this time, I move to adjourn to executive session at 7:31 p.m. to consider the purchase of property for public purposes. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Connie, I'd also like to discuss the appointment of individuals for Genoa's commissions, boards, and committees during that executive session.
Okay, I will amend my motion to add that.
Okay. Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. We are now in executive session at 7:32 p.m. I move to return from executive session to regular trustee meeting at 8:18 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. We are now back in our regular trustee meeting. There is one item to come before the board.
Connie, we'll make a motion. Currently, we have a combined committee known as the Financial Advisory and Audit Committee. I'm going to make a motion to divide that single committee into two committees, and they will be titled as follows. Financial Advisory Committee will be one committee, and another committee will be the Audit Advisory Committee. The Financial Advisory Committee's purpose will be to prospectively look at the township's finances on a future-looking basis. The Audit Advisory Committee purpose will be to look retroactively at past past accounting practices of the township.
I will second that motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
We'll name the appointees for each of the committees at our March 15th meeting.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. Motion carries. Is there any further business to come before the board? Hearing none, I motion to adjourn the regular trustee meeting at 8:19 p.m.
Second.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. We are now adjourned at 8:20 p.m.